One of the ways the Apostles' Creed affirms Jesus' divinity or deity is by calling him Lord. But when Jesus was called Lord during his earthly ministry, this was usually just a polite form of address. The Greek word kurios, which we translate as Lord, was a common term used to address any person of authority. In and of itself, it didn't imply any sort of deity or divinity. So why should we think that the New Testament Greek word kurios refers to anything more than earthly human authority and honor, even when it's applied to Jesus?
One of the great titles of the New Testament that's applied to the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is Lord. The title Lord comes from the Greek kurios. Some who do not want to affirm the full deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and see this title as reflecting the fact that he is the Lord try to say that, kurios can be used of kings and earthly rulers, and thus this doesn't at all prove that Christ is the Lord. Yet, when we have the affirmations repeatedly in the New Testament where he takes on the very name of the Lord, kurios, from the Old Testament, which picks up the covenant name of God from the Old Testament Israel, particularly you think of, say, Philippians 2, where he goes to the cross, he humbles himself even to death on the cross. The Father is the one who then exalts him by resurrection, then gives him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and tongue confess, and that name that is given to him is Lord, kurios. That comes right out of Isaiah 45, where that name is applied to Jehovah or Yahweh from the Old Testament. And that now comes over into its application to Christ, where you have a clear affirmation that the New Testament is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing less than the one who takes on the very identity, role, aims of the Lord of the Old Testament. In fact, we can see this change from lordship, Lord, the name Lord from the Old Testament applied to Christ, many, many different places. The book of Hebrews does it repeatedly. Paul's letters do it. In fact, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of Christ as one who has the very identity of God of the Old Testament. So that it's not enough just to say, oh, this is just a human title. No. In the New Testament, it is referring to the unique fact that the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is indeed the Lord.
When kurios is used of Jesus in the New Testament, it could simply be someone referring to him as sir or master. But in certain cases, it's clear that the referent is actually to the Old Testament covenant name of God. For example, in Hebrews chapter 1, the author quotes the Old Testament, Psalm 102, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth." If you go back to Psalm 102, you see that this is a reference to Yahweh, to the Lord God. And so Jesus is identified specifically with the Lord God. In that case, there's no doubt that kurios refers to Jesus as the God of the Old Testament, the Lord God.
When we look at the New Testament, we often find that the New Testament writers and speakers address Jesus as Lord. Now, sometimes in that culture, the word Lord did simply mean sir. We can read of examples of that in the New Testament where someone is addressed as Lord. Probably when the Samaritan woman is first speaking to Jesus and she addresses him as Lord, she didn't mean you are the Lord of the universe, but it was a title of respect. But what is important to see is when we read the New Testament, often the New Testament writers are quoting Old Testament passages where Yahweh is described as Lord, as kurios, therefore as divine, and those passages are applied to Jesus Christ himself. One of the most striking is found in Philippians chapter 2. The author of Philippians says there that Jesus has been exalted as Lord, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we read the Old Testament, when we read Isaiah chapter 45, verse 20, there the author of Isaiah emphasizes that there is only one God, that there is none other. In that very passage, Isaiah goes on to say that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Yahweh is Lord. Paul, who is very familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, nurtured in those scriptures, educated as a Pharisee, Paul alludes to that very passage in Philippians chapter 2 and applies that passage where Yahweh is identified as Lord. He applies that to Jesus Christ. It is very clear, therefore, that in that passage, Jesus Christ is viewed as the Kurios in terms of divinity, not simply in terms of a title of respect. There are many other places in the New Testament where the Old Testament term Lord is applied to Jesus Christ. So it's quite clear that the New Testament writers believed that Jesus Christ was the Lord, the Son of God, and fully divine.
One of the significant backgrounds that we need to always take account of in the New Testament's usage is the fact that Kurios was the preferred equivalent used by the Greek translators of the Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek, the Septuagint, for as the equivalent for the term Yahweh, the covenant name of God. And so typically, those reading their Greek Old Testament, their Greek scriptures, when they came across the word Kurios, would recognize this covenant name. And clearly that's in the background in many of the places where that term is applied to Jesus. In the church's confession, Jesus is Kurios. And I think one place that's so obvious that that's what is intended is in that great hymn about Christ in Philippians chapter 2, Paul's great exaltation of who Jesus is in his divine glory and in his condescension, in his humiliation. He is in very nature God. Paul begins by saying, equality with God is not something he needs to snatch at or grasp. He humbles himself, takes the nature of a servant, and then is highly exalted so that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Kurios. Now, that conclusion, Paul is echoing from Isaiah 45, where the Lord, Kurios, announces that he alone is God, that every knee will bow to him and every tongue will confess allegiance to him. And Paul is unquestionably echoing that language at the end of Isaiah 45 and saying, Jesus is the one to whom every knee will bow. Jesus is the one to whom every tongue will confess. Jesus is Kurios. Echoing a text in the Old Testament in which Israel's covenant God says, I and I alone am God. Paul could not make the point in a stronger way in the use of Kurios than to say, Jesus is the covenant God of Israel, come into human flesh for the sake of our redemption.